Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you came by this morning. Well, we're bringing the year 2014 to a close. And I can only speak for myself about this, but I know several other people who would probably be pretty much in sync with me. I've had better years than 2014. Although, towards the end of 2014, things really started to look up for us. Most of you know the stories. My husband is better. My son is better. We moved out of a very, very large house, and everybody that was living with me kind of went on their own, and everybody's doing very well. So it didn't have a bad ending, which would lead me to believe that the door to 2015 is a good door, and it's opening for us as we speak. So I do want to talk today about New Year's resolutions and what you've decided is going to make your life more of what you want it to be, whatever that is. And I'd also like to remind us of a few of the other kind of let's get past this kind of things that have happened this year as well. Let's bring Shell in. Good morning, honey.
Well, good morning, Rainey. How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of feeling the same way about 2014, a lot of challenges, but every challenge that got dealt with and resolved seemed to spin us out into a better situation, which sometimes when you're in the middle of something, you can't imagine how it's going to turn out. But if you just kind of just keep doing the right things and trying to keep the best attitude you can, things ultimately work out. It's amazing, but if you're not doing the right things, or if you're not in the right place, life has a way of pushing you out and making you make a change.
Change.
A lot of people will fight tooth and nail not to experience change, and yet it's one of the most healthy things we can allow ourselves to embrace. And if we do it that way, if we embrace the change and don't fight it, a lot of times it can really enrich our lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, I hate to sound like Forrest Gump, but, it's kind of like, I'm not going to use the box of chocolates, but I am going to say that it is a lot like the recipe for a cake. And for years and years and years, you do that recipe the same way, and then one day you forget something or you change something just because you have to, because you don't have the other ingredient or whatever, and it comes out the best cake you ever had. Now, that kind of simplifies what life can be like.
Yeah, and that actually happens. I mean, that's a really good example, because sometimes things happen and it appears that it was by accident. I don't believe in accidents. I believe in serendipity. But it looks like it was by accident or coincidence, and then all of a sudden things can take a really positive turn. So I like that analogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it happens to us a lot more frequently than we give notice to, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Because, all of a sudden we'll realize something that we had been doing for years and years and years, now all of a sudden we're doing it a different way. And you can actually sit and try to reflect on when that change took place, or when this became the norm, when it seemed like no time ago at all, something else was the norm. So I guess we do our own evolution as we grow and as we live this life. And some of it is not so great and not so positive. And then other things that we seem to accept positivity with a little bit better flair anyway, for obvious reasons. So when something really good happens, we just chalk it up to, you know, we deserved it, or, you know, that's the way it should have been to begin with, or whatever the case might be, and we forget to celebrate the fact that 3 days before that, we were lamenting all the negativity and all the bad things that were happening to us, and then something good happens to us, and we forget to rejoice. I don't know why we do that. I really, I've analyzed that with myself, which, of course, is really the only person I have any say over, but I don't get why I do it myself, so I surely do not understand why the rest of the world is like that. You know, 2014 is reminiscent in a lot of different ways of the 70s and the era of making room for difference and the era of not being accepting a lot of things. Now, the 70s is looked at as the hippie revolution, and it was a way for people who were trying to accept the world for what it has to offer with all of its nuances and differences and different cultures and different colors and different religions and everything. So then everybody decided to walk around and live in a minibus and wear flowers in their hair and not take baths, just so that they could be accepting of everybody. It was a safe and amusing part of our history, but it didn't make too many differences, very sadly. So this past year reminded me a lot of that time in my life. The racial tension again, yet again. What are we thinking, Shell? What are we thinking?
I know.
And I said to somebody, I dare you, anybody I know, take a family picture again, but get everybody in it and tell me how different you all look now. There's yellow faces, brown faces, white faces, black faces in almost every family now. So there's a certain acceptance on some level of the fact that we're all supposed to live here together. And yet, all this other stuff that's going on out there is just, you know, it's disheartening. It makes me want to think that, you know, some of us are not firing on all of our cylinders, you know?
That's right. That's right. And the whole thing is that there are, and I'm not going to get into it in today's show because it's a very, very intricate subject, but there are powers that be. There are people literally in places of power. I'm not saying this metaphorically. There are people in places of power that are very wealthy and very powerful because of their wealth, that it's advantageous for them, for the masses to quarrel, for the masses to have separatism, for people to have separation of ideas when it comes to religion or appearance or ethnicity and things like that. So they propagate this unrest and distrust in order to maintain some civil unrest. And the reason why that's advantageous for them is that while we are bickering with each other, and this is something that I heard this about 20 years ago, and then I've heard it again recently from very authoritative figures who study sociology, who study politics, who study how money works, and they've all made the same conclusion that while we're bickering amongst ourselves with really almost false prejudices, things that have been almost indoctrinated and to some degree brainwashed into people, we are not watching that the level above us or the levels above us, because we're too busy quarreling amongst our peers, amongst the people that are shoulder to shoulder with us having the same struggles. And so we're completely blind to the people that are in power and what they're doing because we're too busy fighting with our next door neighbor or with our employee or with our boss or just feeling helpless about situations. And it's the people that kind of understand that that's really not the way it's supposed to be and it's not the way it has to be, and that start educating themselves and learning more about how money works and learning more how life in general works energetically, tend to be able to rise above that, and now they start seeing less of a chasm between the masses and the upper level folk, the people that are truly in power. And they almost see that there's a way to transcend into that upper level. So there's more of a deliberate action to keep people quarreling. And if people knew that, it should make them angry enough to really resist it. Because prejudice and things like that are actually manufactured civil unrest for the benefit of people that want to keep us in a place where we feel that life is not good, life is hopeless, that there's lack all around us, that you have to struggle, and it's actually not the reality of our lives. And once you start learning that, you can really create a beautiful life for yourself and start transcending. It takes a little bit of work, though, and it takes a willingness to educate yourself and to be willing to be open-minded enough to maybe take on different attitudes about what life can really hold for you.
Well, I think that what you've just said exemplifies many different scenarios. Families.
It does.
there's a lot of hierarchy in families. There's a lot of that in the workplace. You and I worked in a place where we developed more of what we thought that environment should be, and then the powers that be strategically, over the course of a couple of years, removed all the bottom pieces of the world that we organized, and the reason for that was so that they could remain the answer, the wherewithal, the the forever in control person. So I agree with you 1,000,000%. And I also agree.
Right, because you can see it in a smaller environment in families and homes, which is a great thing. But it's actually spinning down from like a macrocosm down to a microcosm. The macrocosm being the wealthy and the masses, and the microcosm filtering down to businesses and families.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at every person that's out. You know, I never remember all these people's names because I've never given them, although I'm respectful of them, I don't give them a lot of credence because they think that they can teach other people to be successful. And I think success in a lot of cases is a state of mind. So, but you have a lot of these spokespersons out there, and they say, you know, the rest of the world doesn't want you to know this. That's how they start the conversation. Or this is a big secret because otherwise we will all be, and it will be more evenly distributed, the wealth and the success. So I know that it's something that has been around forever, and it's harder today with the media, with the computers, with Google, with all the assets that we have today to keep us more in the know than we ever did before. So it is, but I also feel a little bit more of an urgent uprising for the common folk, such as us. We are not stupid. We are aware of what's going on. We see every day that the people that we hold as illustrious leaders are just as impaired as the rest of us, and that they're no more special nor any more saintly, for sure, than anyone else is. So they've gotten where they are through our strength in most cases, not through their own. But
and that's true.
That is,
and that's true. And
you're
that's
right.
How they say they're our strength.
That's right. Exactly. So that is a big discussion that I, too, agree with, but we probably need to save it for another day. I do think, though, that the beginning of 2015, the awareness that I see, even in my own circles, which is nice. Remember I said a long time ago when I first heard about AIDS, I didn't take it seriously until I knew some people who had AIDS.
Right.
I kind of feel that way about this. I feel like I talk to people every day who are getting everything that you just explained. People are seeing it with their own eyes and understanding it. So I think we're on the cusp of making the kind of changes that will need to be made to bring us to a better place. Everybody, not just a few of us, everybody. So, but again, personal voyages are only as good as the captain, which is you. So you have to be in the right place as well. Now,
right.
You know, people who don't know you, like I do, don't know how much energy and effort you put in to finding good answers. Not everybody's like that. We both know that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, the population can be taken on this hayride, if you will, if they just keep their hearts and their heads open. And with all the things that I contemplated this morning for my New Year's resolution, I wrote on Facebook, "Morning, my friends, what's your New Year's resolution? Along with the memories today, let's talk about our futures. What does yours hold? Are you making changes in your health, your looks, your job? How about your attitude? You know, many of the first on this list can be assisted by your attitude, to love, to listen, and to be aware of your surroundings. Maybe think of the New Year as a blinking red light. Stop, look, listen, and proceed with caution. Let's make 2015 the year of friendship and harmony." So I do think, and I will not let go of this, you can call it my Irish pig-headedness, if you will, but I don't believe that there is no way that we can live in harmony. I believe we can. And I believe in some circles we do already. And that's a start. But I like the fact that you have brought to the forefront the fact that a lot of times the more dissension there is amongst us, then the more power is strengthened in those in our world that sit over us. And I want them to be strong, and I want them to be good leaders. I don't necessarily want to lead the droves of people. You could. You're still young enough to do that. You could be an amazing leader. But I don't know that I want to take that on. But I would be happy to be a part of that, for sure. But I do think our minds have to be opened, and we have to be conscious, really, really a level of consciousness that embraces all the different ambiances of everybody, everyone, everything. So let's hope that there's enough open minds to bring us to that. For one of the reasons is, again, the racial tension this year. It's like a throwback in time. It's like Facebook took Throwback Thursday and stuck us all in that place for the past 10 months. I mean, the Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman thing, and then this Michael Brown, and then the policeman being shot in the car. I mean, come on, everybody. Is that the way you want your life? Is that really, really the way you want your life? That kind of dissension and drama and trauma and all the things that go with all of that? What are you all thinking?
And, you know, the funny thing about, well, not the funny, I'm saying funny isn't peculiar, but the peculiar thing about prejudice and bigotry is that you end up hating innocent people. To hate someone or to have anger towards someone that wronged you on an individual level, face to face, or hurt that particular person, hurt somebody in your family, it's still not a healthy reaction, because love, compassion, and forgiveness, we've talked about so many times, is the only way to heal a situation. You've got to be willing to forgive people even when they don't ask for forgiveness. Just because when you meet violence with violence or hatred with hatred, it just perpetuates more bad stuff. So, but the peculiar thing about it is that it is... It diminishes you. It destroys you on an individual level, and it puts you in a position of hurting innocent bystanders, somebody that looks like that person, somebody that's the same religion or has the same ethnicity or the same color skin. I mean, how nonsensical is that? You know, we've talked about so many times that the stereotypes are based on the stories that get in the news, and the stories that get in the news are usually only representative of a small percentage of that particular group. You know, most people, if you were to just go through and just go through person by person, most people are really decent and want the same things that you. The small percentage that get in the news are the ones that are working outside their basic decency. And although those numbers get very high, when you talk about the fact that there's 7 billion people on the earth, how many stories do we actually hear in a year that are negative about people? And how many stories do you know on a personal level of people that are really decent and good and would like to make a difference? Sometimes they feel lost, and sometimes are making a difference because they've kind of already put themselves out there. So when you start doing the math, you realize that the majority of people are good, are seeking the same things you are, and look different, and have different religions and everything else, and they're contributing to the betterment of the world. So it really makes prejudice and bigotry a very foolish thing to allow yourself to feel, because it makes you hate people for no reason, and it makes you separate yourself from people that could and probably would, most likely would, enrich your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think maybe another positive word that we could put in to this discussion is the discovery of yourself, the discovery of who you really are, not who everybody attempts to make you or everybody attempts to influence you by saying, you know, oh, you're this and you're that, and gives you, titles and tags and whatever else you want to call it. I do believe that most of us know who we are inside. Not all of us are brave enough to bring it to the forefront because we're not sure that people are going to be accepting. I mean, look how long it took the parts of our world to accept, well, and even that, there's some tension there still too, homosexuality. And I still know people that think, you know, if you have a domineering mom and you're a guy, you're probably going to be gay. And I hear people say that, and I think to myself, do I want to fight this fight right now? Or do I just want to just smile and say, oh, okay. It is about discovering really who you are and really what you have to offer as well. And I think that it's an important journey that you should be able to take yourself on to find out who you are really. I think most of us grow up very quickly today, and we kind of like are on this big bus, and the bus stops here and stops there and stops everywhere, and just in a split second you make the decision to get off the bus then. And wherever you end up is often where you stay. And that's not necessary. Get on another damn bus. You know, you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to be what everybody else thinks you should be or could be or can be or are. You literally, and I know you've all heard this since the days of Sesame Street, you can be whoever you want to be. And that's not a lie. It's not a fallacy. It's not pretend. It's not make-believe. It's not from Disney World. You really, really can be whoever you want to be. But effort is required. and you have to examine yourself to know who that is. So I think that one of the key words would be just that, you know, discover who you are and discover mm-hmm. what you want. I know people that are our age who still don't know what would make them happy, Shelley.
I know. Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, and before we get into our individual resolutions, I was going to say revolutions. This is turning into a much
too.
More controversial show. We're starting a revolution. But we get into our individual resolutions. I did want to make one comment about something you said because I'd like to expound on it. But you were talking about people that are public speakers that basically talk about self-improvement and rah-rah and you can do this and here's these secrets and things like that. And the one thing I want to say about that is that I've always been a very up person, although I have had anger issues in the past and things like that, which sort of made my life more dysfunctional than I would have liked it to be at the time because of my responses. And it was because of these public speakers, because I was wanting to live a better life, okay, and because I believed there was a way that I could live a better life, and I became open-minded enough to listen to the advice of people who had been where I was. Because when you listen to a lot of these public speakers, they weren't always where they are now. They struggled. They had financial difficulties. They had relationship problems. They had health issues. So you're listening to these people who went through what you're going through now. That's the point of these type of public speakers in the self-improvement arena, which I'm looking to become myself within the next year. And because I find it exciting that I have resolved so many things in my personal life, and each time I have a success, I'm like, well, you know, I can help somebody else get there in two steps instead of the 20 that it took me, because now I know a more direct route. I know the things I tried that didn't work, and I know the things I tried that did work. And that's what a lot of these public speakers have done for me. The ones that I really admire, the ones that I learn from, is because I listen to them, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I was going through. And then I see that they just made, in most cases, very minor shifts in their life. It wasn't anything major that they did. It was a minor shift here, a minor shift there, small decisions, but that had major impacts on their life. And I think that that's important. Whatever you're going through in life, no matter how, because I had times in my life where things seemed very, very hopeless for me, where it appeared that there was no solution to my problem, that things were going from bad to worse. I can remember times where I was stuck on a job for a couple of years, not that I hated the job, but that I felt trapped. I was very ill. I didn't seem to have any solution to my health issues. I mean, there were times in my life that I was very, very stressed out on every level that you could think of. But there was always this little voice in the back of my head that said, you can have a happy life. There has to be a solution to this. So there was a little tiny piece of me, regardless of how upset or depressed or sad, angry as I was, there was this little voice inside of me that always said, it doesn't have to be this hard. It doesn't have to be this hard. There has to be a better way. And I think because I held on to that with an iron grip, even if it was only 1% of my thought processes, that those answers finally came to me. So I don't know what everybody else's resolution is going to be, but I would highly recommend that one of your resolutions should be to be hopeful, to know that life can be better, that you can make personal shifts, even very minor ones, that can really change the course of your life dramatically. And to seek out people who are in this self-improvement arena. There's books out there. A lot of times there are free seminars you can go to. It doesn't always have to cost you hundreds of dollars. But if you have the money, pay. Pay for a DVD series that costs $500. Go and see somebody at a live lecture that may cost a little money if you have it. If not, go to the library and watch DVDs by that person, whatever. But there are people in the arena, and the ones that are worthwhile listening to are the ones that also struggled, the ones that had a struggle, overcame it, And now they want to share with you how they overcame it so that maybe you can improve on your life. Because then you have a formula you can pattern yourself after. You don't want to watch somebody who's never had a struggle in their life telling you how to improve on yours. You know, it's like an alcoholic being counseled by somebody who's never had a drink in their life. But so that's the importance. And there are so many people out there like me who have experienced something in life, got on the other side of it, and now they're like, wow, I have to share this solution with other people so that they can get there quicker than it took me. And that's the point of self-improvement.
Well, and I would agree with that. But before you can be open to that, like I said in the very beginning, is you have to, you have to examine yourself. You have to come to, you have to really understand who you are before you can reach out. You have to really, examine why you're not in a good place, why you don't seem to be as happy as you see other people. And if you you examine their life, it seems like they don't even have as much as you do, or they don't have, they're not as lucky as you are, or they're not as blessed, however you want to look at it. And then, so figure out what's going on with you and figure out why.
Well, some of my favorite writers actually talk about that. And if you identify that there's something not quite right with how you're functioning in life and you just don't feel settled, you don't feel connected, you know, then you should just start reading some of these books. There's so many positive authors out there, and they actually can help you identify where your specific issues are, because sometimes people don't know where they are. I found all these lecturers that I went to see very enlightening because I started coming into self-realization. I knew that there was something that I needed to fix. I didn't know what it was because I didn't really know what was broken. I just knew that I wasn't functioning on a level that I wanted to function on. And my belief that there was something I could do to fix that is what led me to them. But it was like I knew enough to know that I needed to work on something, but it was almost like these, like an analogy, it was almost like these lecturers were my diagnostics. I read their books, and I started realizing things about me that was like, oh, that's what my issue is, or oh, that's how I can overcome that and smooth it out. And like I said, my journey started in 1998, so you can see how many years it is, and I found out a little here and a little there. So one of the purposes of my book is to help people to get where I am now a little quicker, kind of know where to jump in, and because some things took me years to find out, but I had already...
Another grandchild who forgets when I'm on the radio. I think, but again, so then that took some of your own personal soul searching and some of your own personal reflections about who you are, what you are, and why you're not happy. That's my
point.
And
a desire
to be able
to want to make a change. If you don't have that desire, then it's not going to pan out. I wanted to function better than I was. I wanted to be better. And so I sought those solutions, and I found the most amazing books. So there has to – this is where what you're saying comes into, where you have to really do some self-analysis. You have to get to the point where you say, okay, I could probably be a better person, or I could probably feel better all the time or interact with people better or whatever. And I want – but I don't know how to do that, but I want to know how to do that. And that kind of opens the floodgates for you, just that single realization.
Well, the simple discovery of who you are is sometimes a major, major eye-opener. And I think that when you're very young, you've discovered what you like and what you don't like and who you like and who you don't like and what your favorite food is and what your favorite color is and all those kind of things. We haven't really discovered yet what literally floats your boat. And that can take years, especially if you're not aware that it's missing. So I think that's a big part of it. So let's hope that in the 2015 that there is some reflection there is some soul searching from all of us. The people that we care about the most, obviously, are the ones that we worry about and the ones that we want to understand that literally you can almost do anything. I would have trouble walking on a tight wire at this age, but probably if I'd have had a desire to do that when I was 12, I probably could have done it then. So something passes you by the longer you wait. So I think it would be a wonderful idea if for the year 2015, when you think about what your resolution is going to be, maybe before you worry about all the other people that you'd like to mold into fitting into your life better, understand that that's their job, not yours. A big lesson for yours truly. You do have to understand, though, that for you to fit into the lives of others, you have some molding to do on yourself. And that's a big, big step into being a happier person. You know, I talked about a little bit about some of the other things that have happened, and I want a real quick touch on them because they deserve a mention. Of course, the all the things that happened in our NFL, in our National Football League, with all the abuse and the wife battering and the one guy that beat his kid with a switch and told everybody in the South everybody gets beat with a switch and all. I mean, you know, and I, probably all true. I'm not trying to say somebody wasn't being honest about what they know to be true, because I believe that they were. But it's still not okay. To inflict harm on someone else is not your right. Is not your right. And it's not okay to inflict harm on someone else. How's that old saying go? Use the rod and spoil it? No. How does that
spare
say when
rod.
You don't spank? Spare the rod and spoil the child, right? I don't know where that came from, but I do know that there has to be repercussions when you are in charge of a young person about right and wrong for their own safety. I remember telling my own kids, if you scream all the time at your children, they get so that they turn that scream right off. They don't ever hear it anymore when you do it all the time.
Right.
If you want your scream to mean something, only use it when it's absolutely positively necessary. How would you feel if your 1-year-old who's just starting to walk takes off and heads for the street because they see a ball in the street? And you're in your front yard, and you can't get there in time, and your child runs out into traffic. Most cases, if you're not somebody that screams at them all the time, hearing your voice go, all the way up to that shrill scream that you're going to do is going to freeze them right in their tracks. But if they hear it every day, it's not going to mean anything to them. And it's the same with the punishments and everything else. Eventually, what you have raised is a hardcore teenager who thinks they can tolerate anything, so consequently they can do anything they want. It's not a good idea. There needs to be lines drawn for your child, for the young person that you brought into the world and you want to be a happy, well-adjusted, nice person. There's lessons that need to be taught by you, but lessons don't need to be delivered with pain most of the time. So I really hope everybody rethinks that as well. Some of the heroes for our young people, I listened to some of my 17 and 18 and 19-year-olds discussing the elevator incident with the football player and his wife, and then they kissed and made up, and she stuck up for him, of course, because that obviously became their lifestyle. I know a lot of men and women that if they can get attention of any kind, it's acceptable as long as they're getting attention, even if it's bad attention.
Yeah.
Another another raising issue that happens with them. But it's not okay. It's not okay to inflict pain on anything else that lives, breathes, and has feelings. I don't know that I will go as far as saying plants, like some of the people I know, although I do often touch my flowers and plants like they know I'm touching them. So I don't know exactly where that comes from and can't really analyze it, but it makes me more comfortable to treat them that way. And I'm not one to accept any kind of violence. So all those things that we saw this
about,
year is a shame.
Plants aren't what you would consider sentient beings. I mean, they're not aware of themselves, but they do respond to stimulus. So if you,
yep.
They've done on this where they have plants on one table and people are walking in saying, I love you, and they're playing pretty music and stuff like that, and the plants just flourish. And on the other side of the table, people are walking up and they're screaming at the plants and they're playing very, like acid rock music, very hard to listen to for hours and hours at a time, and the plants all wilt. They're getting the same light, the same nourishment, the same watering. The only difference is the outside stimulus of music and intention from human beings, and 100% of the plants on one table will flourish, and 100% of the plants on the other table will actually wilt and not flourish at all. Some die, and some just don't ever pick up. But I think that's a very interesting study. So if that happens to a plant that's not a sentient being, what are your words doing to a child if it can have that impact on the growth of a plant that's not sentient?
Absolutely. Well, and tone of voice, of course, is another big issue. If you are a leader in your world, the king of or queen of your domain, then a lot of times your voice literally speaks volumes. A lot of times the tone of your voice. My dog, he doesn't respond to Spike, my son, or Spike, my husband, the way he does me. Because if he knows that I'm mad at him, all I have to say is no. If I walk him, he'll run, almost pull over my husband, and he loves him to death. But if he pulls on the leash with me, I say, stop. And he stops, sits right down and
yep.
looks at me. So,
yep.
there's a lot to be said for tone, and it's the same with your children. It doesn't have to be a screech. It just has to be a tone. So, anyway, all of those things. Then there's the Ebola scare. And I want to make mention of the doctor that I've watched for the last several years on the Today Show. I'm not going to say her name, but she was in Ebola country and was under quarantine and came back to the States and got in her chauffeured car and went to pick up soup at a restaurant after being told she was on quarantine. And the media, of course, saw this and went crazy with it. She was taken off the Today Show. She has been really ostracized for her behavior. Again, did she do the right thing? No, she did not. Was she over there, and did she dedicate herself? I mean, she did a lot of amazing things, a lot of wonderful things. I would say that her judgment in this particular scenario was very bad, very poor judgment. But do I think she did anything with intent to do harm? No, I don't. And she literally may have ruined her whole career over that one
yeah.
little decision. So I guess that's one of the other things I want to set into motion for the year to come is, think before you act. Give some thought to something. When you're in a place where everything is different, when you're in a trauma place, I will relate to this by way back when Mikey got hurt, and we were making decisions left and right in a place of trauma. And many of the decisions we made, I think now, you know, what was I thinking? And I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And neither was anybody else. We were kind of lost in space. But life moves on. So you are still in decision mode and all those kind of things. I want, again, awareness, reflection, and being able to discover what's going on in your own head will serve you very, very nicely before you make a split decision to do something that's going to be life-altering. Consider it. Really consider it. A lot of people that call me for counseling and a lot of people that talk to me about their job or their relationships and everything, I always tell them, you need to write all this down. One of the gifts that we're giving upon arrival at the new institute, at Vibrant Health Institute, is a journal book. And my guests are going to be urged to do a day by day, even if it's only a few words. Feel like hell today is all right with me. Feel great today is wonderful with me. But a day by day reflection of what's going on in their own self while they're going through a major detox, especially the guests that will be lucky enough to stay for 3 weeks. I don't know why we never initiated that, although there was place for notes in the big manual that was given at the other institute, but I don't think anybody ever utilized it.
Yeah, we had a journaling class, but not every guest attempted it. Yeah, but like I said, not every guest attempted it, only the ones that were interested in it. And I like the idea that you're kind of putting that out there for all the guests this time, because I think putting our thoughts down on paper is very healthy. The one thing I would add, I don't know if you're already doing this, you may already be doing this, but one of the things that's positive is for people to share their feelings. Like you said, oh, I feel like hell today. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But they should always end with a positive instruction to their mind, to their bodies, because we listen to the instructions that we give ourselves and say, but I know things are going to get better, or I'm here to make things better. End it on some positive comment that you can believe. Don't say I'm going to be healed by Friday if you don't believe it, but you can certainly say, but I'm here to make things better. So that even if you've made a comment like, oh, my God, I'm just feeling so horrible, this detox is almost too much for me to handle, but I came here to make things better, so I'm hopeful that that's what happens. Even just, I would just recommend that you tell them, go ahead and state the facts, but try to end on a positive note, because that's going to be the energy that you're going to run with, especially if you're writing it down on paper. You put a lot of energy in things when you put them down on paper.
Yes. And that's a good that's also a good way to heal if you're going through pain, the loss of a loved one, or as the Christmas holidays wind down and we go into the new year. This is the time of the most suicides. This is the time of the most depression for so many different parts of our humanity, and I do think, again, that's another thing that you need to discover about yourself. If you are not in the jovial, ring-a-bell kind of place that a lot of other people are, and you're standing back and you're thinking, why can't I be there? Why don't I feel that way? And you think back and you remember warm, fuzzy Christmases with beautiful, sparkling lights and happiness and togetherness and everything, and you're still in a funky place, you need to discover what's going on in your own head. And very sadly, another person can't do that for you. You have to do that for yourself, which is a big part of what makes the world, you know, such an interesting place, because we all have those things. Shelley and I are very good friends. We have a group of very good friends. We are all and I mean this in every sense of the word, totally, completely different people.
Oh.
Isn't that true? We all come
yes.
from different different kinds of backgrounds. We all come from different heritage. We all
yep.
come from different lifestyles, everything. And yet we are incredibly close and
yep.
and care a lot about each other, which is, I know, unusual for women our age, although if you have the opportunity to have that kind of relationship with a bunch of other women, or if you're a guy and have that opportunity to be that way with another group of guys, it's a blessing. It's a big blessing.
Don't we span like 40 years in our group, from the youngest to the oldest?
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So
we have.
So it's not even our age
have,
group. It's, we have a very,
have,
very unusual group of
yes.
women. And even
yes.
even a guy or two that fits in nicely because they have a well-developed feminine side.
uh-huh.
But,
exactly.
We have a very, very warm group, very bonded, but each individual is so different. And I think that's what makes our group so exciting, because you have so much in the mix. It's not like you're going out to breakfast or dinner with yourself, you know, times 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's. I think the diversity is what makes our group so exciting, and it makes you look forward to getting together with them again.
Yep. It's the truth. And again, this is a part of some of the things that can make you, well, I don't want to say they'll make you happier, but they'll give you more purpose in your life, more positive purpose. If your life is all about paying the bills, making ends meet, going to a job that you don't really care too much about, but it's a paycheck, having a relationship that is unfulfilling, change it. I can't do it for you. Shelly can't do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. If you're in that place, change it. And I'm not going to say change the whole thing today, because it's like, you know, it's like your house. It's you are your own domain, and it will take a while to make all the changes. You can't remodel your house in a day, and you can't remodel yourself in a year. It will take time, effort, energy to make the kind of changes that make you feel better about who you are, what you are, what you do, and who you love. A lot of times, some of the counseling that I give to people is maybe, which is going to contradict what I just said to you, but I hope you'll all understand it, maybe you're spending too much time on yourself. Maybe you're spending too much time on what is going to make you happy, and you have the tendency to blame other people for not being happy or other things for not being happy, then you're on the other side of that gambit. You need to do a little bit more reflection again about who you really are and what you need. And it's not anybody else's responsibility. It is purely and simply yours, which should lighten your load.
Yep.
Because at least you know what you want. You don't have to talk yourself into it, I would hope. You don't have to convince yourself that the right thing for you to do is to be happy. You just have to work on it, you know, which is easier than changing somebody else, believe me. Much, much easier. So what is your New Year's resolution, Shel?
Well, remember, it's not really a resolution. It's more of a focus.
As long as it's not a revolution, we're good.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I guess my resolution for 2015 is kind of twofold. I've really focused on refining how I'm finishing my book. So my main focus for 2015 is to get my first book done. And I've actually got two others that I've been working on. So I've been kind of like spreading my time across three different books now. But I want to get the first book that started all this for me back in 1998. I intend to get that book done before the middle of the year, so that I can actually get it into publishing. And my other resolution is to travel more, because I see that the more I travel, The more worldly I'm becoming, the more people I'm meeting that can actually help me on my journey. It seems like I meet people the most unusual way that have something to do with something I'm doing. So even if it's just going to the beach and walking down there and passing by a stranger and we get in a conversation, I'm seeing this happening more and more and more to me lately. So, but I do want to travel more because I seem to I've just developed a real admiration for traveling, both for business and for family events and things like that. So those are my two biggies going into the new year, is to get my book finished, my first book finished, and start moving the other two along, and to travel more.
Mm-hmm. Well, those sound like worthwhile ambitions, and good energy goes into both, and I think both will be beneficial for who Shelley is, for sure. I have mixed emotions about my resolution. I think my biggest resolution is that I'm, and I already pride myself on this, but I also realize that I'm not as good at it as I want to be. I'm going to listen better. Listen. I want to be able to hear what people aren't saying to me. And I want to be able to be in a place where I can watch somebody and really, really hear what it is that they're trying to say to me. Because I think we jump, especially when you get as old as me and you've listened as many times as I have, I already form an opinion halfway through a conversation, and then later I reflect on that and think to myself, how the hell did you do that? You didn't even hear the rest of the story. And you talk about hearing the rest of the story all the time. So my resolution is to listen to the whole story without any analysis or counsel or anything coming to my head. Because if I'm crowding my head with what I'm going to say next, I'm no longer listening.
Right, right.
So
wow.
I want to really, really, really be a better listener and really hear what perhaps isn't being said to me, but that I should be able to hear. So that's my resolution. And
I think that's extraordinary because you are already an incredible listener. And for you to be able to look at it and say, I can take this up a notch, is first of all, it's very, very admirable because of what you're just talking about, self-analysis. You realize that as good of a listener as you are already, that because you've been such a good listener, you tend to already jump to a conclusion about somebody.
Yep.
Because you have listened to so many stories, and then you realize that sometimes you come to the wrong conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of honing in on that and better now, that's extraordinary. So, wow, that's an awesome resolution.
Well, you know, I'm opening the doors to this new institute. I've already talked to literally hundreds of people that I never met before, and I already found myself doing what I just said I do. Somebody calls me and says, you know, this is what happened, and da, 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 and already I'm formulating what I'm going to say. And I have to shut my own brain off and just turn my hearing up.
Yep.
So it's a biggie, but I'm going to work on it because I want this next endeavor of mine to be incredibly successful and to help me grow as long as I'm doing it and as well as I hope the guests will grow at the Institute under my support and caring. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. So we will
yes.
not be on the air tomorrow, everybody, because I figured most of you are going to sleep in because you'll watch the ball drop. If nothing else, you'll be up late. So Happy New Year, everybody, and we will be back Friday and do a little recap and talk about a couple other little things that are going on. So God bless everybody. Please be safe. I posted a number on my Facebook. Do not drink and drive. Do not. There are towing agencies, AAAs, all over. All you have to do is call them and tell them where you are. They'll tow your car within 10-mile radius for anybody for free. So do not drink and drive. Be safe and be happy. And whatever your New Year's resolution is, embrace it and make it happen.
Yep. Yep.
God bless. Thanks, Shell.
Thanks, Renee. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful New Year's, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Bye-bye.